Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Alex Bryan.
Great. Well, that was a powerful time this morning. A bit different, but I like it when it goes different, because when God takes us off of our plan, we know we're in His hands and He just does some amazing stuff. He also does amazing stuff through us, which is awesome, which is why we prepare as well. So this morning I want to speak on responding well, and that's in every area of life. And you know, we are remembering at the moment what Christ did for us at this time. Well, it's not at this time of the year, but at this time of year we remember what He did for us. You know, when He went to the cross, He gave everything, and then He rose again in victory and gave us a new life that we have. And really, what God's been speaking to me about the last few weeks or months, and if you are part of the worship team or you speak to me sometimes, you will know that this, you'll probably hear some of the stuff that I've talked to you about come out again. But it's how to respond well to what Jesus has already done for us, to what God's already done for us, and the amazing love that He's shown us. How do we respond well to that? Because we do have a responsibility in that. And I love this definition of responsibility. If you've done a defining relationship course, you might know it. It's simply the ability to respond well. And so I believe we've all got the ability to respond well to what God has done. It's just a choice, really. It's a choice whether or not we do it. Okay. So I'm just going to read some scripture to you, and it's a fairly hefty chunk, but I believe in the power of the Word of God. So we're going to let that speak to us this morning as well as me. Just to give some context on where we are, it's Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17. And to give you some context of what this new life is that we've been given, I'll just go into chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. No, sorry, 14 to 15. Just to kind of sum up the life that He's given us. Okay, we've already kind of touched on it this morning, but 14 says to 15, He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. You know, just before that, it said, well, I might as well cover it. It says that God made you alive in Christ, for He gave all your sins. Then He says that about He nailed everything to the cross. And He shamed those spiritual principalities in His victory that try and put us down. So the things that stop us responding to God's life, He's already won the victory over them. So there's nothing really, there's nothing at all that can stop us from living in that new life. Okay? So let's just get into that next bit of scripture. It says this, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God shows you to be holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it all as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. That is an awesome piece of scripture right there. And that is the new life that we've been given. And in there, you can easily see the responsibility that we have as well. It says, you need to do this. You throw off this. You throw off that. Yes, God has, by his grace and his mercy, has saved us. And he empowers us to do those things. But then we have to take the responsibility to do them. And the last bit of that scripture where it's saying, you are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do and say all things you do. Remembering that. That's the main bit I want to focus on this morning. I just want to give you a testimony of something that happened in my life this week. So it was Wednesday this happened, and it was just that I had a bit of a meltdown about money. You know, Pastor Paul was talking about this just a minute ago, you know, saying that money, you know, it's not about everything, and you're not a failure if you don't have lots of money and everything like that. It's not what defines us and makes us victorious. And I've had a bit of a meltdown about money, you know, not having loads of money, not having enough maybe. And I was like saying things like this, and I was on the phone to Naomi, I was saying things like, what's the point? Why are we doing what we're doing if we don't have the quality of life, a good quality of life, or, you know, we struggle and stuff like that. See, the thing is, in that moment, I'd taken my mind off of Jesus. I'd taken my mind off this new life, this victory that he'd given me. That he's given me, he's given all of us. So in a couple of minutes, I was back on the phone to Naomi, and I was apologising to her. I was saying, you know, I'm sorry that I displayed lack of faith and hope. You know, in our relationship, in our marriage, I'm meant to be the spiritual leader, and I talk about these things like, you know, all we need is Christ, because I truly believe it. Christ is all that matters. Jesus, God, is all that matters in my life. I'm heading there. This is the most powerful thing for me earlier in that switch between waving the flags and then being in that moment with the Holy Spirit was that when Pastor Paul mentioned the festival and the tabernacle, and that represented a tent, and because really this isn't our home here, we're heading home. And for me, that's what I believe. I believe that truly, and I'm like, it doesn't matter what happens to me on this earth. You know, I'm heading home, and I have a choice to respond, and I've got to do things, and that matters. But it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter if I don't have loads of this and loads of that. You know, my true quality of life is in God. And so that's why I was back on the phone to her, and Jesus had pulled me back out of that water. You know, it's a testimony of what Adrian was speaking about last week, that Jesus had pulled me back out of the water as I fixed my eyes back on him. And in that moment, I just welled up, and I walked around the corner, and me and Brian on the hub have got a really good relationship, and I'll just go to him. No shame involved. I'll just go and cry if I need to, you know. So I just went over to him, and I cried, and we started talking. I was saying to him, look, I'm not talking because of the situation. I'm not crying because of the situation. I'm not crying because of if I have enough or not. I'm crying because I'm upset with the way I responded to it. Now, I'm crying because God's teaching me so much how important is the way I respond to him, that I was just upset with the way I respond. It's not saying that God punished me for that. It's something that I saw in myself and the way I responded. It's not the faith that I want to be living in. It didn't line up with what I believe and what I've said to other people at other times. And it's like, well, I want to be a man of integrity before God. And so that's what I was saying to Brian. And you know, in everything, I want to live in that new life that I've been given. In everything, I want to respond well. And so in verse 1 and 2 of that scripture we just read, it says, keep your eyes fixed. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And I'd taken my sights off of heaven. I've been thinking about the things of earth, like, oh, you know, I've got a child coming. I'd love to be able to, like, just give it loads of stuff, you know, because the world paints a picture of, like, dolling up your nursery, and that's nice things to do. And I'm not saying as Christians we don't have to do that stuff. Of course, we want to bless Others want to bless our children, but the world does paint a picture of giving financially, spending a lot of money on stuff, basically. Spending a lot of money on stuff that maybe the next month you won't be using anymore, you know. And for me, in this, the whole setting up of a nursery, having a child, he's going to be in a bit of clothing for maybe a week or two, and then he'll be out of it again, you know. I was getting a bit upset. Oh, I don't have loads of money, you know. But my eyes were fixed on the world then, and what the world teaches is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need to be able to give. Your child, this is what you need to be able to give your wife, this is what your home's got to look like, and everything like that, you know. But God's like, well, relationship is what matters. It doesn't matter if you've got this or that. It's about the relationship you're going to have with your son. And that was an awesome bit that Brian was speaking to me, and he's like, you know, you don't need all that stuff. It's about the relationship you have, that just to be there for them. So I've taken my eyes off of heaven. I'd stopped thinking about the things of heaven, started back thinking about the things of earth. So I had to bring that around again. In verse 5, it says, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. As I just said, that's what I'd slipped into. I'd slipped into worshipping money, worshipping I need this and I need that to be able to do this and do that. And so I'd got really worked up about it and like, oh no, I'm frustrated. But what I need to fix my eyes on, who I need to be worshipping, is Jesus. He's my provider. He's the one that provides everything I need. And nothing else matters but him. Really, what he's been teaching me is his will, his purposes, for they are perfect, is all that matters. And he created me and who I am. So, you know, he deserves my worship. If I live a life where maybe I'm serving him and I'm fulfilling his will and his purposes, but I don't have a lot of money, is that right? Yes, of course that's right, because Jesus created me. Who am I to deny him my life and say, actually, I want to go and worship money and earn a lot of money over there? You know, I actually want to give everything that I am. I want to respond well to this life that you've given me. And I'm not saying that Jesus puts us in positions where we don't have lots of money. We sometimes do. That's good. But whatever situation you're in, respond well to it. You know, that was an awesome testimony earlier of how the church has responded to this situation, and now we see the finances going up. You know, I'm responding well this morning. I didn't know that testimony before, and it's awesome to see that we are responding well to what's being brought up here and to our leadership and actually giving, and now we're seeing finances go back up, and it's so awesome to see that. But this testimony of mine, it's very circumstantial. It's based on like something that happened during the week, because maybe the bank account had got a bit empty. I must say, it's not always empty. Don't listen to me being up here and say like, oh, I never have any money. That's not true. I do have money. It was just a point where my bank account got a bit empty, so I got a bit like, ooh, you know, got a bit worried about it. It was a circumstantial moment, and the way I responded wasn't the best, but we can choose how we respond in every circumstance. But God is calling us to respond well, not just to circumstances, but to the life that he has given us. You know, what we've been singing about this morning, and what we've been talking about this morning, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that whoever would believe would not perish, but have eternal life. He's given us that eternal life. He's given us that life that we just read about there. You know, that he's nailed everything to the cross, and nothing, none of that sin, none of that shame, none of that guilt will ever rule over us again. His victory is what matters. And in that victory, he's calling us to respond well to that life that he's given us, to respond well to that immense love that he's shown us. In verse 16 and 17 of that scripture I read, it says, let the message about Christ, that gospel, this message that we're remembering at this time, in all its richness, fill your lives. Yeah. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Not just like this, but in conversation. That's why we come to church, to encourage each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And this bit, and whatever you do, or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In other versions, it says, do it in the name of Jesus. So how would Jesus view this situation that I am in? What would Jesus pray? What would he believe? This is why relationship with Jesus is a key. It's a key thing. We've got to spend time with him. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And you've got to spend time with him to receive that infilling every single day. Salvation is amazing. When we get saved and we come into this new life, but it's not just for one day. It's for the rest of our lives. And then we've got a calling to make use of that, to go and produce fruit with that life that he's given us. And to do that, we've actually got to start by spending time with Jesus. To have that personal relationship, to read the word. You know, I can stand here this morning and talk to you, but without that encounter with God and that personal relationship with him, that's where you really start to see fruit and change in your life. Because this is me sharing about my life, but what really matters is the life of God within you. You know, that's your personal encounter with Jesus. That's what's going to change your life. Not me saying something to you right now, but actually your personal encounter with him, your response to him, is what will change your life. Jesus said, I only see what I see the Father doing. It's like in my life, I only want to do what I see Jesus doing. I don't want to live in a way where one moment I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And yes, that pleases you, Lord. But next minute, I'll do this for a moment because, you know, I don't think you're watching. Well, actually, he's always aware of what we're doing. But it's not about that. It's because it's not about whether or not he's watching, what will happen when we get to that, when we go home. It's actually about the fruit that comes out of doing the right thing, doing what Jesus calls us to do. It's not always easy to think about that relationship with God and to think about doing that, living the life, living as Jesus lived, believing as Jesus believed. Is it always easy? No, it's not always easy because Jesus was perfect. But he says in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, when you believe, everything becomes possible. When you believe, everything becomes possible. Even a mustard seed of faith can move mountains. So even if that's a mountain of doubt that's in your mind about whether or not you believe enough to believe as Jesus believed, to pray what Jesus prayed, to do as Jesus did in situations, then that mustard seed of faith that you have in Christ can actually move that mountain of doubt out of the way so you can get on with it. Amen. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And the more we dare to believe, I'll kind of rearrange this quote a bit, but this comes from the Personal Victory book by Colin Urquhart. And he says that, and I've kind of rearranged it just to kind of like give it some oomph today. So it says this, the more we dare to believe, the more he will do. The more bold we become in faith, the greater the faith God can honor. Everything in the Word of God, everything that we read, everything that Jesus did is possible for us. And not only that, he expects us to do it as well. He expects us to step out in faith. He expects us to see life come into the world through us. You know, sometimes we think, well, I just want to get out. Sometimes I've heard it said before, I've probably said it before. I want to get out of the way so God can move, you know. That's sometimes something we just end up saying. But God's placed us here for a reason. God's put me in this position, in what I'm doing in my life, for a reason. So he can flow through me and bring change through me. Okay, I just want to finish with this. John 15, verse 16. It says, you did not choose me. No, it was I who chose you. But I did not only choose you to belong to me, I also commission you to go and bear fruit that will be of eternal significance. Amen. So I just wanted to, that's what I wanted to bring to you this morning. It's just a summing up, really, of what God's been saying to me. And those words, responding well, were the way to sum it up. Was in your life, in your faith, in the salvation that you have, how are you responding every single day to the life you've been given, to the price that Jesus paid? Are we responding well? And it's not for anyone else to judge. It's between you and God. And if you've not been responding well previously to that life that God's given you and everything He's called you to do, then that's in the past. The old has gone and the new has come, and you can step into that place right now. This morning, you can make the choice, I'm going to respond well. From this moment forward, from this day forward, I'm going to respond well. And I'm going to see the amazing fruit and possibilities and doors that Jesus will open as I pursue life with Him in all its fullness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.